Welcome to Women Got Game, where we uncover untold stories of extraordinary women in sports across Northwest Ohio and beyond. I'm Sophia Fisher, and we're going to celebrate the evolution of female athletes, coaches, and sports enthusiasts. Let's dive into a world often overlooked in the broader sports narrative. Ready to explore? Let's play. In today's episode, we get to hear from a couple of amazing female trailblazers who played for the winningest team in professional football history, the Toledo Troopers. They were a prominent women's American football team that played from 1971 through 1979. They were part of the National Women's Football League and later the Women's Professional Football League. They also won numerous championships. The team was known for its success on and off the field for being pioneers in women's tackle football. I'd like to welcome our guests today, Linda the Goat Jefferson and Gloria Jimenez. We'll also be talking to Jonathan Kimball, who's part of the team behind the documentary released by Serena Films, which is a division of Communique in Toledo, Ohio. It tells the amazing story about the Troopers. The NFL Hall of Fame recognized them as the winningest team in pro football history in the late 70s. All right, I want to start off by asking you ladies the same question. What inspired you to join the team, the Toledo Troopers, and play football? Why don't you start first, Linda?
Well, I started because back in the 70s when I graduated from high school, from Libby High School in 72, after sports in high school, they were not giving out scholarships, and pretty much that's where the sports ended. But then as a junior, I found out about the Toledo Troopers, but my mom wouldn't let me play because I was still in high school. So when I turned 18, I went out for the team. One of the girls that I played softball with played. And so I went out for the team, and my mom didn't come to watch the first four games because she didn't want to get me hurt, wanted to see me get hurt. But after that, I guess you might say, everything else is history after that. But I did not play until after high school. There was no college scholarships, you know, and I still wanted to stay physically fit. And football was that sport that was between softball and basketball. And it was football, so that's how I got it, went out and played.
Sure, but it was no powder puff. You guys were pads, you were hitting each other.
It was regular tackle football. There was no lingerie league or flag football. It was contact tackle football.
Now you're a running back, is that correct?
Yes.
So same question to you, Gloria.
Well, I grew up in a family with seven brothers and sisters. I didn't play an organized sport, but I grew up in a very competitive environment. It just was in my blood, street basketball, football, frisbee tag. And then my friend saw an ad in the paper about a women's football team, and I love football. I used to watch football all the time. So she said, well, let's go try out. And I said, well, okay, let's go try out. So we went and tried out, and we made the team. The rest is history. I played for 7 years on the Toledo Troopers every day. I went there 4 days a week, played on Saturdays.
I heard you're an all-around player, but what was your favorite position?
Well, believe it or not, I was a place kicker. I kicked the ball off. And then I kicked extra points, but the problem was, I could miss seven in a game because they never blocked for me. I always got killed. And then I played middle linebacker. Well, I lost about 160. I mean, I was weighing about 160. I lost about 80 pounds because I wanted to play middle linebacker in my pretty much final year. But I played every position. I mean, defensive tackle, defensive end, offensive tackle. I played every, and they even tried me at fullback once. Mainly because I was so mean.
Awesome. No, I love it. So let's take look at the lens of Title IX. You know, it was President Nixon in 1972, they initiated Title IX. But in the research that I had, I saw that maybe you were paid $25 to play. Is that per game or?
That was, I was back then the highest paid female football player. My contract was $25 a game, per game. But after taxes, it was $22.50.
Wow. That's not much, Linda, I tell you.
Well, you know, right now today, you can barely get a full tank of gas with that.
Yeah. And what about you, Gloria? Were you compensated ever?
No. We got paid. I got paid one time. That's all I remember, getting paid for one game. And it wasn't a question of money. It was, you know, Toledo Troopers are different than any other women's football team, okay? They paid for everything. They had, if you got injured, they paid for it. If we traveled, they paid for it. They fed us when we traveled. They paid for our uniforms. The only thing we had to really purchase was, like, you know, our cleats and maybe pads if you wanted to wear special pads or whatever like that. So it was never about money for me. It was because I loved the game.
What would you say at that time, what were some of the biggest challenges that you faced beyond that? Obviously, you're traveling. Tell me a little bit about, gosh, the wear and tear on your body, or was it, how'd you hold a full-time job, have a family, and play football?
Well, I think most of us had a job. That's why we were really considered semi-pros, because it wasn't the thing that we did for a living, wasn't football. Most of us had a job. I had a job for UPS. I went to school and I played football. But why we, I think, were as good as we were is because our coaches conditioned us. It was more fun playing the game than what it was practicing. You know, it was much easier playing, because practice at Gloria was horrible. Pretty much, I mean, but we were so conditioned to play the game that a lot of us didn't get hurt. I think me and Gloria came out in the same year, 72, when we played for those last 7 years. But I didn't really get hurt until probably my sixth year. But that was after playing running back, and any running back could tell you, you can't get thrown around like a rag doll for 6 years and not expect it to be hurt. Even then, I think my last year I had two knee braces and ankles taped up. But it took 7 years for me to get to that point. And I knew then it was time to retire. But up until then, I think most of us could kill a car, don't you think?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, that's how, sure. you know, they talk about a six-pack. All of us had six-packs. Well, right now today, we got cakes.
Yeah, we can barely walk now. But in the day, she's right. We were, I hate to say it, but we were coached like men.
Yeah.
I mean, we went 4 days a week. We practiced 4 hours a night. And, I mean, we hit a sled with our coach on it. He was played for Bowling Green. He was huge. And we had to drive a sled around the field. And you know, like she says about me, well, we'd have always at the end of every practice, we had tackling practice where they'd set you on your back and one guy got the ball, or one girl. One girl got the ball and the other one got the tackle. It was so funny. It's my favorite part of practice, because everybody started counting to see where you were at, because they knew I was going to hurt you. That's all there was to it.
You had your targets.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Sure. You should have seen them. They were like all running around. Oh, no, you go next. You go next.
Well, talk a little bit about the team culture. And, you know, I mean, I think any sport team. But you guys had to be close, especially working out as much as you did together, traveling.
Well, right now today, once a month, we still have breakfast together.
Yeah.
As far as our coaches was concerned, you know, I think we more so idolized them, because they taught us a game that we never knew anything about. You know, we watch it on TV and all that. But they taught us that game, and they taught us to love and appreciate the game of football. Like right now today, we can watch a football game, and we can tell you pretty much what's going on. You know, what's what. We're a family. It's our Trooper family.
Well, you practice every night. You know, that was our life. You know, we went to practice, and then we'd always go out to eat together, and we hung out together. We partied together. I mean, it was, you know.
It was family.
It was family. Yeah. Met a lot of people, camaraderie. That's all there was to it.
So it really impacted your life both on and off the field.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say some of the most memorable moments or any particular games that you can share during your time with the Troopers that you'll never forget?
I want to go first.
Go ahead.
All right, Gloria.
My favorite game was when I first started playing, you know, we're young. You know, I was wild and didn't want to pay attention to anybody. But we got to go to Irving, Texas to play in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Not too many college players can say that. It's my team. I love Dallas. But it was probably the most exciting thing that, you know, and you're young, you've never flown. I didn't ever fly, you know what I mean? So it was a really, and they paid for everything. They paid for our hotel. They paid for the plane. Just to be in that stadium, do you know what I mean? It was just awesome. Sure. I mean, it was the greatest thing.
Yeah, it's incredible. What about you, Linda?
I think playing in Texas Stadium was great. I think, matter of fact, Franco here, I mean, to walk into Texas Stadium, and we're so used to playing in a high school stadium or in a cornfield, right?
Yeah.
To walk into a stadium that has 50,000 seats was incredible. And that particularly, my first, you know, they came out with 63 girls, brand new uniforms, looking really nice. And our coaches and the owner of the team had a little spat. So the owner wouldn't let us take our game uniforms, so we had to play in our practice uniforms. But we came out, and I mean, and I think it was what, about 33 of us?
Yeah, there wasn't that many.
Yeah, and they had 60-something girls, so, you know, we were pretty much in awe. And, you know, I think Carl said, wasn't it Carl that said, that they're just football players just like you are? And our first play on offense, the quarterback, we ran, it was called a 33, and she was supposed, no, a 22, and she was supposed to give the ball to the right halfback, but she turned around and gave it to me. I wasn't looking for it. It hit my leg, bounced up in my arms, and I think I ran 93 yards. That's memorable.
100%. Yeah, no one's going to forget that. Right. That's awesome. What were the crowds like, of just curiosity? Did you have a lot of
They had
fans?
A good crowd in
Toledo.
Irving, yeah.
Toledo,
too. Well, yeah. When we finally got Wade High School as our home field, basically, we had a lot of fans. And the thing that was the best was that there was a lot of young guys. They were always, they would be betting on, you know, one game I didn't kick any extra points, and they were betting against me, and I finally made the eighth one, so they lost. They lost their money.
But, you know,
but they loved watching us play.
When we first started playing, a lot of people said, women playing football, I don't want to see that. But you only have to come out and watch us once. And once you watch us once, you'll come to every game. When we first started, we might have 100 people.
Yeah.
And we had cheerleaders, but by the time it was over, we had a crowd of 3,000. I remember we played on the same night that
Gold Diggers.
Toledo Gold Diggers played the same night, I think the same time, and we had more people at our games than what the Gold Diggers did. So, you know, it caught on real quick, but everybody loves a winner, and we were winning.
Well, I think, you know, when people finally recognized us, then the Blade, we were getting more notoriety. So, you know, a lot more people knew that we existed, and then they, you know, came and watched the games. I mean, I had five brothers, but they were so embarrassing. They would come to the game and be screaming and stuff, and my coach would go, "Your brothers are here."
They're your biggest fans. Why not?
Yeah, they loved me playing football.
I do want to ask you both, how do you think Toledo Troopers contributed to the broader landscape of not just women's sports, but really gender equality? What do you think really did you know at the time what you were really doing and moving the needle for women's sports as it is today?
Well, you know, I knew that I felt that we were pioneers. You know, I knew that, and I said this 30, 40 years, 50 years ago, that women would be making millions in sports. I stepped on people's shoulders like Athea Gibson and Wilma Rudolph, and now these girls today have stepped on our shoulders so they can get to that glass ceiling. Isn't that what that's called? The glass ceiling we can break. So they can get to that. We were the pioneers. We were the ones that took all the bad looks and all the stereotypes, but we made women's football what it is today. I think it's over 60 teams. They play at the, they're somewhat called, it's called like a Super Bowl, national championships. They play that now in Canton at the Hall of Fame Stadium. So, you know, it took us, you know, 50 years ago for them to get to where they are today. So, yeah, I think we're pioneers.
They honored us at that championship game. But I think the biggest thing about the Toledo Troopers is that, you know, we crossed a lot of culture and barriers, and, you know, people, even the young girls, they looked at us as role models, and to see us do something that was basically dominated by men, first of all, to see us do something that, you know, excited them and they want to play football, because there's a lot of teams right now across the country. And we just started the foundation for them. Yeah. You know, women can do anything. You just have to put your mind to it. They want to be athletes too. They want to be educated. They want to be something in this world.
Notarized, you know what I
mean? Sure.
I remember a friend of mine that I work with, you know, as a kid, you know how the boys say, well, I want to be Terry Bradshaw or something like that. This guy came and told me that he was playing football with this little girl, and she said, I want to be Linda Jefferson. Well, I'm Linda Jefferson. You know, and that made me feel good, because this kid, after, 40 years, recognized who I was. Or, you know, you hear kids, I've had young girls come up and ask me about, you know, women's football, and I explained to them that there's still women's teams around, you know. And we, matter of fact, we had a team here, the Toledo Rain. It was the Troopers, then Spitfire, yep, then the Furies, then the Rain. I think it has been four teams, and a lot of people don't know about those teams. They know about us because we were winners.
Yes, and you won multiple championships, right, and you were the winningest football team, professional.
What was it, six-time world champs?
Six
or seven?
Yep.
Yeah, time world championship.
So you're definitely inspirational, and that moves me to the documentary, We Are the Troopers, and that's where, Jonathan, you come in. What inspired you to make the documentary?
Well, it was really all them. This was not like some brilliant idea that I had. It was always the players. I was introduced to the team in 2013 when it was being developed as a feature film. And like most feature films, you know, I don't know if people are aware that probably 99% of movies just never get made. So any movie you see is kind of a minor miracle in some way, even if it's terrible. And that whole process fell apart, and they're the ones that kind of stuck with it. And I'm not sure exactly who it was, if there were multiple different players who kind of kept bugging Verna or Bev or whoever was, yeah, kind of the head of the team committee that you guys have of kind of the core players. Seeing a lot of the ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries that were popping up and getting real popular, and I think they rightfully said, they were like, "What? Why are we not doing this? Like, let's do that."
So once again, their stick-to-itiveness, their championship mentality, they're like, we need our story told.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it is crazy. I remember when it came back to me, I got word of it through Guy Stout, their coach's son, and Steve, his best friend, Steve Guinan, who's a writer. He wrote a book about the team and everything, and they had worked on the screenplay for this older project. And they kind of own a lot of the intellectual property kind of thing in terms of like showing the logos and stuff like that, because I think all that kind of came through Guy's dad. But he said, I think we're going to do it if John will agree to make the documentary. And I was kind of floored, and I said, well, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, because it is crazy. It's like, yeah, it's like it's absurd that this story isn't
out in mainstream, right?
Yeah, it's got everything you could ever want.
Now, the editor, is that Tom Sanders then? Mm-hmm. Is that, yeah, so he, I, you know, also, in looking at that, I read a lot about, you know, tried to research and see, there was a lot of documentation out there, a lot of footage. Was it hard to really dial it down, because you had probably a lot to choose from, or where did you kind of, was there a particular vision in mind? What was the takeaway beyond the history and beyond what they're doing? Was there something intertwined in there that led you creatively?
It actually was. There was plenty of awesome photos and newspaper clippings. Like in Guy's basement, he had binders full of all the game stats from like every season. Like, and I think a lot of that stuff was in
players,
that library
memorabilia.
Yeah, just there's a lot of crazy like stuff like that. The footage actually was pretty limited. There wasn't a lot of existing game film. Thank God there was some of the most important games especially that rematch, or the, I would say the rubber match with Oklahoma City in 76. That, pretty much that full game was there, which was very helpful. We weren't really sure what to do at first because of that kind of limited game footage, and we didn't really have the resources to be trying to do big reenactments of big, you know, football games and stuff, so that was kind of out. So we kind of really had to rely on the players and their recall and just
interviewing
the
them
and the color they brought to it, just recalling I don't know about the rest of their lives, but when it came to football, a lot of their memories were steel traps. You could tell that this was, you know, something that they cherished a lot, because some of the stuff that they remembered is crazy after, you know, 40 plus years.
So how did that make you feel? I guess, Linda and Gloria, back to you. Was it great going down memory lane? Was it, what did you want to leave as a takeaway? So
I just think that they had it at the Valentine Theater, okay, which was great. You know, a lot of people came to see it, and I just think it just tells our legacy. That's our story. You know, that's what we spent our whole lives, you know, doing and enjoying, and, you know.
It's a story that should be told. You know, that you could, these young girls don't have to be the best of the best, but just have the desire to play. And I think a lot of us didn't, a lot of us might not have been basketball players or track runners, but it was an opportunity for us to play and play with the best of the best. And I think that's what I took from it. It was an opportunity that, you know, you don't have to be the greatest athlete ever. Just have the desire to play a sport, any sport, but make sure you give that 110%. But just get out there and try to play it. You know, the one saying that I always say, you have to believe it to achieve it. And if these young girls believe it, they can achieve it.
So what would be, looking back, what do you consider to be the legacy of the Toledo Troopers? I know there's a lot of milestones, but what would you say?
Well, I think it speaks for itself. It's, we were the winningest team in football, and it came out of Toledo. We were winners. I don't know what else you can say.
Yeah, I agree with that. We are the winningest team. No other team will ever surpass our record with the 6 national championship. Well, we were called world champs. And what were we, 66 and 6?
We only lost once or twice.
No, we lost 6 times.
In the main, the main 6 or 7 year run.
Right. We only lost maybe once or twice.
Yeah. It's after Bill left, and there was kind of a second version of the team before it became the Furies. They're still good, but they lost a few more games in there. But yeah, that first run from about 70 to 76 or 77 was like really only 1 or 2 losses.
Yeah, we didn't lose that many games. By then, we were all getting beat up and older, so.
Yeah, they threw me around like a rag doll.
Oh, goodness. Well, hey, if you were going to tell anything inspirational to a young woman listening to this podcast, what would you leave her with?
Like I said, you have to believe it to achieve it. Don't let no one tell you what you can't do. Just get out there, and if you want to be a football player, be a football player. Just get out there and believe in yourself, and you can achieve anything you want.
Gloria?
Well, I think we opened the door. I mean, there's 60 teams across the country right now, and women want to be athletes. They want to be educated. They want to play major roles. And the young girls, you know, when I went to their championship games, from all over the country, the girls would come up to us and say, we're so proud of you guys. You got us started, and we want to play. So, you know, that means a lot. You know, they look up to us. So
if this ever goes mainstream film and we have a bigger budget, who's going to play you in the made-for-TV movie or big screen? Who would you have play you?
I have no idea.
I know
that they're
going to. Gloria knows.
Who I know is playing me. They used to, when they were going to actually make a movie, they would always say, J-Lo's going to play you.
All right. I like it. I like it.
They had Zoe Saldana was in talks to play Linda.
Right.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, Kerry Washington, I heard that name thrown around.
Yep.
So yeah, Jonathan, tell us more about the documentary, a little bit more as far as is it going to be mainstream, or where can we find it?
Well, it is being shopped right now. Was it March? We did Cleveland. We got into Cleveland International Film Festival and technically had our premiere there, you know, the public premiere.
Won an award.
And yeah, we won a crowd award there.
We did.
And yeah, we did. we won like
you didn't know that?
The audience award or something like that. Yeah.
They voted on us.
After that award, I got contacted by a couple different agents, and we ended up signing with one. And yeah, and then the last 6 months have been kind of a process of, because giving them kind of the marketing material and stuff that they can then take, and it's actively being shopped right now, and we've got a couple offers, and basically I'm kind of just waiting to see, you know, if any more come in, and then we negotiate with whoever we pick. And so it will get out there.
Linda and Gloria, I got to ask you, anything else you want to add? Anything you want our audience listening today to know? Any takeaways?
Well, I just think that, you know, go play football, girls. It's out there.
Do what you want to do. Make sure that's what you want to do. Don't let anyone tell you what you can't do. Just get out there and do your best.
Well, Gloria, Linda the Goat, and Jonathan, thank you so much for being here today. And all three of you, you got game.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you, absolutely.
Special thanks to Gloria and Linda from the Toledo Troopers and Jonathan for joining me on this episode of Women Got Game. I'm your host and producer, Sophia Fisher. Executive producer, Chris Pfeiffer. Have a question or comment or want to hear a past episode? Visit wgte.org/womengotgame.